Morning, Angel.
Welcome to Reflections. In this episode, I want to talk about midlife and transitions, and how to find your way through them. Midlife, of course, means different things to different people. And where does midlife begin? We're talking about 30s, 40s, 50s, or 60s. But I certainly know my perspective of midlife has changed over the years as I moved from being a teenager and a woman in her early 20s at thinking that being 30 was old. And I think lots of us had that idea back then. But life is a journey and it's filled with twists and turns. And we don't really know when we set out on this beautiful journey called life just quite how those things are going to go.
Recording in.
So one of the most profound stages of the journey can be midlife, a period marked by change, uncertainty, and self-discovery. For many of us, ideas that when we get into our 40s and 50s, if we've had children, are growing up, they're going to university. And it means that we start to question our identity and who we think we are. Sometimes our identity is based on the things that we do or the roles that we play within our lives. And for some people, that's quite a challenging transition. In terms of what it means to be a man, a woman, gay, straight, and where we are in the midst of our life's experience. So, if you find yourself in the midst of a transition or unsure about where you're headed, take heart in knowing that countless others have walked that path before you. But really, we're all unique and we have our own individual experience of what this means. But we know with the research into suicide that it can be a really tough time, in particular for men when they hit their 40s and 50s, and especially if they're going through any kind of divorce and experience some high levels of stress. So, it's really important that if you're going through a transition, but you're finding it really difficult to get out of a phase of anxiety, low mood, depression, and you're dealing with a lot of conflict, it's really important that you get some help to support you through those moments, because a lot of the times, we can start to see light at the end of the tunnel. So some of the things that I'll share with you now, some of the things that actually can be helpful to consider in terms of your own journey of midlife. In terms of my journey of midlife, like I said, I have this sort of idea in my 20s of what it might mean to be 30 and 40. And I certainly know that I moved towards 40 and really wasn't happy with the idea. And I thought, I've either got to have a party and embrace it or, get depressed at this idea of age. And we're so caught in these numbers. But it's also about the kind of role models that have gone before me and women that I see, previous to the way things are now. And we didn't have Instagram and YouTube in which to scroll through all the different accounts where I find there's lots of women in their 40s, 50s, and 60s who are really inspiring, who do yoga, who press weights, who have great bodies, who have a life full of vitality and happiness. And I'm sure it doesn't go without, some of the day-to-day challenges. But hopefully, by the time we've got in our 40s and 50s, we've also garnered quite a bit of wisdom on the way. So for me, really, the 40s was a time where I was, I still had young teenagers. And it was only when I started heading towards my 50s that I really started to think about who am I? Where am I going? What do I want to do? What I want to do with this decade of life? Do I want to do the work that I've been doing? And how do I learn from some of the challenges that I've had in my relationships, in my personal life, in my professional life? So it can be a sort of mild transition where change can just sort of occur slowly. And for other people, change can occur overnight where, they are faced with some high stress situations like, the loss of a loved one, divorce, or the kids move to uni and the house now seems very different. So try and think about change as an opportunity. It can often be seen as daunting, but it can actually be a catalyst for growth and even reinvention, as many of the women on the Instagram pages that I scroll certainly have gone through that process themselves. Consider the story of Sarah, who was a corporate executive and found herself in a layoff in her 50s, initially devastated because, of course, she'd been doing a job that she'd loved for a long time. And that had been a large part of her identity and where she got a lot of her passion for life and ideas about who she was from. But she decided to change the view that it was a challenge and a negative experience and pursue her lifelong passion for writing. And today she's a published author and a testament to the power of embracing change as an opportunity for personal and professional fulfillment. So we need to cultivate resilience, and resilience is the ability to bounce back from adversity stronger than before. So we used to use this term in our clinical work where we talk about bounce back ability, that the higher levels of resilience mean that no matter what you go through and challenges that you face, if you're resilient, even if that takes its toll and impacts your health, you have the capacity to move forward and continue onwards and upwards. But it can, for many people, over time, that stress that we experience really have an impact on our health and well-being and our relationships. So John's story serves as a shining example. It was a failed business venture that he got into in his late 40s. He felt lost and defeated, as many men can derive their identity through the work that they do. Through therapy and self-reflection, he learned to embrace his setbacks as a valuable lesson, started to look at his own strengths, where he really was passionate about, and founded a successful consultancy firm using his experiences to help others navigate their own challenges. Seek support and guidance, because in times of transition, we can start to lose a sense of who we think we are, identity. We can start to feel real strong feelings of emotions through that loss and change. And sometimes we need to seek further support from loved ones or professionals. So Lisa was a divorced mother of two who found solace in therapy and a support group for single parents. These connections helped her rebuild her life with a newfound confidence and purpose. And I certainly know with a lot of the women that I've worked with on the programs in the past, that some of the life events were really difficult and challenging and even life-threatening in some cases. And they had to overnight, in many cases, make changes to their life, leave their partners for safety and security. And even though they were in transition, sometimes 3 to 6 to 12 months in temporary accommodation or fleeing to another city and having to find work there or manage life on benefits, many of the women, when they got that support on an emotional, spiritual, psychological, and physical level, we're able to move forward and start to embrace the vitality that comes with living life according to what works for you. Embrace lifelong learning. So, we often have the messages that school is the most important time in which to get your A or, well, I'm saying O levels, A levels, GCSEs, and to go to university. But a lot of us in our 40s and 50s never, did education beyond 16 or 18. And midlife can be a time to explore those new interests and acquire new skills. So people are often going into education and doing courses in their 50s and 60s purely for the delight of exploring something that they've really enjoyed, or they have a lifelong dream such as becoming a chef. So Mark, who was a former engineer, decided to pursue his lifelong dream to become a chef and enrolled at culinary school, and his creations are now celebrated in his own restaurant, and he gets a lot of joy from doing that. And he looks back at those times with how much time he spent worrying about the things that he didn't even really have passions about. Practice mindfulness, as I've talked about on other videos. Mindfulness meditation is a powerful tool for managing uncertainty and reducing stress, because, of course, we often get anxious about the future. It's hard to predict what things are going to look like, and our mind runs rampant when changes are underway as our mind searches for something to hook itself onto. So mindfulness meditation is half of the practice, whereas actually working on our mindset and using affirmations and focusing on our strengths and the dream of what it is we want to create as much as possible can really help us towards that newfound interest or even career. So Emily was a 50-year-old artist, incorporated mindfulness into her daily routine, helping her stay present and calm during a tumultuous period following a divorce. Through mindfulness, she found clarity, creativity that she hadn't known before. Also, what we want to do when we're making changes, as I've talked about in previous podcasts and videos, is that some of those changes need to be small and incremental, but we actually need to celebrate those small wins. We need to celebrate when it's been really difficult for us to get out of bed, want to keep the covers over our heads or watch Netflix all day and give up to the world. But we need to acknowledge when even just getting out of bed and going for a shower, walking down to the shop, getting the Hoover out, washing up some dishes, planting some flowers, and going online and having a look at what's out there are all things to celebrate. They're all achievements. Whatever is successful and an achievement to you is personal, and we need to be mindful that we don't use other people's success and achievements as a yardstick, because fundamental to these shifts and changes in transition is being able to really decide what it is that works for you, what lights you up, what makes you feel good. And of course, we're in a time in history where many of us can do that more and more. So, Tom, who, when he was in his midlife career change, he started a journal and to record his daily success, no matter how minor it seemed. I'm often asking clients, whether I'm coaching them or doing therapy work, to use a journal because, especially if you've experienced depression or low mood in the past, and you have low self-esteem or a poor self-concept, it's good to sort of decide on a scale of 1 to 10, and 10's feeling fantastic and 0's feeling horrible, where you are each day, and to write those feelings down, and then start to write things about your strengths, where you're doing well, what small achievements you've made. Over time, this will fuel your self-esteem and your self-concept and move you towards a new endeavor. Lots of people are internally referenced, which means they need to capitalize on the achievements they've already done in their lives to find out where their strengths are and to re-tap into that resource of feeling good. So if you've ever won an award, won a race, did a job that at first was so stressful and anxiety provoking because you just couldn't wrap your head around it, but before you know it, you stood up in front of your managers doing a presentation and talking about sales that you've made that week. They're all massive achievements, and you need to not only celebrate them at the time, but use those and capitalize on those resources that exist within you. So if I said to you right now, think of 5 things that you've done while growing up or since you've left school that at the time you found difficult, but you were able to not only get through, but get good at. And we've all got some of those under our belts. So we need those affirmations as well to fuel our self-esteem. So sometimes people get confused with affirmations and they think that, like you have to say, I'm really, really confident, but you don't feel confident. So you can reframe it a little bit and say, I'm getting more and more confident as the days go on. You know, my self-esteem is getting higher. I made a small win today. I'm pleased that I did 1,000 steps more than I did yesterday. So we need, if we put process language into affirmations, sometimes that can really help us start to align with that more. And that's what fuels our inner motivation. When we practice mindfulness and meditation, and we release and let go of the things that are bothering us in that moment, that also allows the body to do its job, process the information, and allow inspiration to come. So, really value those moments of stillness, whether you're sat in the garden, or you're by the river, or you're on your bike, where you can just allow everything to fall away for a short time. And then ask the universe, God, your guides, whatever it is that you believe in, a higher source, a higher power, or even the faith in yourself, to come up with some new ideas that will help you move forward for things that you're going to love doing, whether you get paid for that or not. Because when we've got fun and things are going well in one aspect of our life, it invariably influences all our other aspects. So midlife transitions are not about the end of the road. It's a beginning of a new chapter. The individuals mentioned here, like countless others, face the uncertainty and change head on. And we're seeing this even with the younger generation going through transitions and having to do complete career swerves and go into completely different careers. And I've seen that happen with my own children. And at the time, it can be really anxiety provoking when you've got a solid job that pays you a regular wage to then take the risk, move forward, and try something completely different. But it's when you try something completely different that really is what gives you the power and the confidence to move forward. So once we've done that a few times, it means that we can take more risks as we move forward in life. So they navigated the storm by embracing change, cultivating resilience, seeking support, and learning continuously, practicing mindfulness and celebrating victories. So remember that your journey is unique and the path forward isn't always clear, but these stories illustrate that midlife can be an opportunity for growth, reinvention, and self-discovery. On another recording, I'll talk about more about my own journey of the decisions that I started to make from around 2011 and 2016. But thank you for listening.